For the first time in quite a while, it's Pat and I flying solo, along with Kyle W. Smith. I guess that's not really solo, but we don't have a guest tonight, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, so we're all strapped in and ready to go.
That's right. It's the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad Podcast. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
And I am PJ Spiller, Pat Jellick.
And we know that football is right around the corner. In fact, right now, as I sit here next to Pat and with Kyle W. Smith sitting across the room there, there are 16 days, 22 hours, 53 minutes, and 36 seconds until that opener with Long Island on September 1st. By the time this is downloaded, we'll be just about 2 weeks away, and I can't wait.
I know. The season is ramping up. The guys are in their second week of training camp, and by all accounts, everything is going well. You know, everybody's getting ready for the season, and if you're not getting hyped up by now, I don't know what to tell you.
That's exactly right. Now, before we get to the season, we're going to have a break down the Rockets' schedule and our predictions for this upcoming year. We got a little basketball, believe it or not, to talk about, men's and women's style. First of all, I'm going to turn it over to Pat, let him talk about this little trip they made to one of our commonwealths down in the Caribbean.
Yeah, the Rockets went down to Puerto Rico last week and played a little summer ball tournament. Basically played a series of games against all-star teams from Puerto Rico. The Rockets fared really well.
I'm just going to say they kicked ass. Is that okay?
There you go. They kicked some ass. Absolutely. They got a good look at some new players, some new guys that have joined the team. One of the bright spots was sophomore Andre Lawrenson, who is a transfer from St. Louis, and he led the team in their game against the Guaynabo All-Stars.
That sounds just about right.
Yeah, and you know, we've all heard of them, but I just don't know how to say it. But he led the team with 18 points, followed by a couple other of stalwarts for UT. Ray J. Dennis had 14, and Cedric Miller had 13. And apparently he's a good-looking kid from St. Louis. He's played in a great program. And
Scandinavian, from what I understand.
Okay, I'll take your word on that one. And he, Coach Kowalczyk said he could be an X factor for us. And that's kind of what this team has been missing. You know, I mean, yeah, we lost an all-star to the NBA last year, but there really was not that X factor. I mean, you had Cedric Miller who could get in there and light it up with some amazing dunks and get the crowd fired up. But somebody that's an all-around player like this kid, he hit 6 of 8 three-pointers in the game and all four of his shots behind the arc in the first half of that game. So the Rockets blew them out. I believe it was 118-79. They had 5 players in double figures. And they also beat another all-star team from
Carolina, Puerto Rico, the home of Roberto Clemente, the great one, as they called him, number 21 for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I'm surprised you know that.
Well, being an old Pirates fan, not anymore, but I was. I gave him up for Lent a couple years ago.
And the Rockets blew them out in that one, 113-71. So I think it's a unique situation. They have not done this before, done a summer tournament, and I think it's a great, you know, team building and bonding experience, especially when you've got players like Ray J. Dennis scoring 17 points and EJ Farmer and Shoemate all in double figures. Again, they had 5 guys five guys in double figures.
And I'm glad to see that AJ Adu is back from injury, had 6 rebounds in that game. And this is a guy who, God bless him, he's just had injury problems since his great freshman year where he led the team in block shots. So hopefully the 6'11 guy from England can get back and play a full season without any problems and be that force off the bench.
I know, wouldn't that be huge? I mean, he was such a shining star his freshman year. And again, maybe that's another one of those little X factors this team could be missing. And they ended up winning their 3rd game in this summer trip. I'm sure the game was seen by dozens around the country.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing for the team. It can't hurt to get out in, you know, do some team building and bonding and get the feel for each other on the court and see how everybody gels.
And from the pictures I saw on social media, it looked like they're having a good time down there on the beaches and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they did a lot of touring around the historical sites in Puerto Rico. And
water looked a lot nicer than Lake Erie. I'm just going to say that.
Of course.
Not to offend anybody.
But yeah, I mean, you don't want to go out and tour the lighthouses of Lake Erie unless you're, you know.
Right.
Really bored. And then on another basketball note, Ryan has a note about the women's program, which is certainly wrapping things up.
Well, they released their non-conference schedule for today, and what a humdinger of a schedule. I tell you what, they open with Ferris State and an exhibition game. That's a Division II school out of Michigan. But then they host Wright State, host Canisius. They go to Cincinnati. But then on Sunday, November 20th, the Duke Blue Devils come a-calling. The Lady Blue Devils from Durham, North Carolina, come into town, national power, and kudos to Trisha Cullip for getting them to come here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big get. I mean, even playing Cincinnati, who was I believe they were a tournament team last year, is a nice get to have on the schedule. But then after Duke, they turn around and they host Penn State.
Yeah, well, they actually play that in the Daytona Beach Invitation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the way it looks, it doesn't... Looks like they might be hosting. But anyway, yeah, so they play Penn State and they play Texas Arlington in that Long Beach, or I'm sorry, Daytona Beach Invitational. And then they come back, they head to Loyola, Maryland. They host Missouri State. They go to Michigan on December the 8th, which is a Thursday. Host Dayton on December 11th, which is a Sunday. And then they close out the non-conference schedule against the Golden Grizzlies from Oakland on December 21st, heading into the Christmas break. So it's going to be a great schedule. If you don't have season tickets, this is the year to get them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you look at Missouri State, they're a perennial tournament team. Last year, they were in the top 50 in the nation. Dayton, always a perennial tournament team as well. And they were in the top 40, I believe, last year in the nation. So, yes. And Oakland is never a slouch to play. So it's a nice looking schedule. And like if we said earlier, if you can't get into the NCAA tournament, this year, then there's something wrong with the NCAA.
Yes, exactly. They got to win some of those games.
Oh, they got to win a lot of those games.
But you know, with that strong non-conference schedule, they have to get one or two wins against those top-notch teams just to pad their stats a little bit and allow them to have the committee look at them and say, okay, this team is deserving.
Yes, whether they win the tournament, conference tournament or not.
All right, let's move over to football now, which is what everybody has on their mind. I don't know. I'm just, even though we lost a lot of talent from last year, Sam Womack and Tyson Anderson to the NFL. And how about Sam Womack the other night? Two picks for the 49ers.
Great game for the youngster. I mean, he stripped one right out of the guy's hand as he was falling down. And it was against my Packers, but it was great to see Sam do a phenomenal job as a rookie out there. And he definitely opened some eyes out in San Francisco.
Yeah, and from what I hear, he's been practicing with the ones, as they say in football terms, first string, first team defense this whole training camp. So they expect a lot out of him for being a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and last night, apparently there was a situation where Minnesota was down near the goal line, and they tried to get in on third down with a running play, and they didn't have Brian Kobach in there.
He would have found the end zone.
They were denied. Brian Kobach would have found that end zone.
Well, that's what they get. They got it.
That's a typical Minnesota problem.
that shout out goes to Mark Houle, who may or may not listen to this, but I'm going to tell him we mentioned his name, so he has no choice.
That's right. Longtime suffering Minnesota Viking fan.
Longtime Minnesota fan. But although he is a Minnesota Duluth grad, so he has two national titles just a few years ago in hockey, which is congrats to him.
Well, there you go. So now on to football.
Yeah, there you go. Let's look at that schedule. And as we mentioned, opening up against the Long Island Iced Teas. They're the Sharks, actually, but just for the sake of humor, we're going to call them the Iced Teas just because it's more fun that way. Anyway, yeah, that game is September 1st. And in talking with some people at the athletic department, their thought was, okay, we got Ohio State. Are they playing Notre Dame that Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they thought, okay, we might as well move it to that Thursday night because everybody's going to be home for the Labor Day weekend. Might as well try to get the students before they head out of town on Friday. And I kind of get it, even though I prefer a Saturday game, but you know what? It makes sense.
Right.
You want to try to get people to the game.
And you're not going to get any viewership going up against Ohio State and Notre Dame.
And I have if we're doing our predictions here, that's going to be an easy win for the Rockets, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, coming into this game, the Rockets have won 16 straight games against FCS opponents. So I don't see anything different from this one.
You know, the last time they lost was back when the MAC used to go on the road to FCS teams. Back then it was 1AA. We got our butts kicked by McNeese State, and I think Doug Spidle and Tony Drenick were on that team. I'm not calling out anybody. I'm sure they had stellar games, but just to see if they're paying attention and listening. So,
but yeah, I definitely predict the Rockets will roll in this one and win it rather handily.
I'm not going to disagree there.
So something we're going to do this year is we're going to keep a running tally of our predictions for the season, and just to come in with our producer Nate Kresge's pick for this game, he has said that UT will win 56-14. Kyle W. Smith also predicts a win by UT in a big one, but Nate is the only one going with points. I'm going with just the win. I'm not going to go with the points.
All right. That sounds good. We'll go ahead and we'll go down the list, and then we'll read off our esteemed producer and
co-producer,
fan of the show, and
co-producer.
Yeah, co-producer. We'll call him that. Yeah, Nate, you just got promoted, buddy.
Yeah.
So here we go. Next game, UMass. That is actually on a Saturday, which is nice. Saturday, September 10th. I do believe that's a 7 o'clock kick, which is just the way it should be in the Glass Bowl. As you probably heard us mention on the show in the past, Michigan games used to always kick off at 1:30. UT games would always kick off at 7, and the place was always packed because people, so many, you know, Ann Arbor being 45 minutes away, a lot of people from Toledo had season tickets up there. They'd come home and go to the watch the Rockets play. It was a perfect recipe for just a great day of football all the way around, but then TV got involved.
Right.
And you never know from one week to another who's playing where and everything like that.
Well, even if the people didn't go to the Michigan game, then you know they're watching on TV, and then afterwards they get out and go to a live Rockets game and enjoy that.
Exactly.
So the UMass.
The Minutemen.
Minutemen come marching into town on September 10th.
Now, the first ever meeting, Rockets lost back in 1976 to them, but they've now won 5 straight over the Minutemen, including last year, 45-7 on the road. And then, they were up 31-0 at halftime and blew them out after that. So I expect pretty much the same thing this time around. Nate says 42-13. Of course, Kyle says a win by the Rockets. And I'm sure, Pat, you don't want to be the weirdo any more than you usually are.
I'm going to go ahead and be the weirdo and say that UT will roll over UMass.
Yeah, you said it differently.
Yeah, I just come from a different angle.
There you go. There you go, buddy. Of course, then next is the trip down to Columbus and Ohio State. And I just hate this game with every fiber of my being because I still think back to 2011 when we got out-penalized. We led in penalties 14-2 and only lost by 5 points. We were driving, and Terrence Owens on fourth down had no protection, threw it away, and that was the ball game. But yeah. Anyway, we'll give it a shot again this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a strong Ohio State coming into this game, strong Ohio State team, and they have a new look on defense, so who knows what's going to come about from them on defense. Although our defense is, I think, going to be amazing this year. I think they're going to have trouble just when he gets down to the depth. It's down to the second and third teams when guys need a blow and they need to come out of the game. And their second stringers are against some of our second stringers or their first teams against our second string. It may be a little rough, but I think the Rockets will keep it respectable. It's going to be a loss in my book. And, you know, I think they might cover the spread. Which would be nice because, you know, Vegas is going to put out some crazy spread, like 40, 45 points or something.
I'm going to here's my prediction on that. They're going to say 35.5. Let's just see if that sticks. Remember that. Mark that down.
I'm going to say 43 is going to be the spread on that game. And I think the Rockets will cover. We look at Nate's pick for this game. Nate's saying 56-35. So, you know, that could possibly cover a Vegas spread.
Yeah, I hope he's right. I don't know where we're going to get all those points. I think our offense is going to be really iffy this year. I do like the fact Daquan Finn, starting from the get-go, has that escapability factor. If he doesn't find a receiver downfield, he can tuck it up and go. That'll give the offensive line, they don't have to block like they do for a drop-back passer. So we'll see what happens there. But the thing is keeping the defense off the field. If we can keep the defense off the field with some time sustaining drives, that maybe, just maybe, that defense will really come through.
Well, and something that plays into that is who's going to be our main running back this year. Penny Boone, from the transfer from Maryland, predicted to be possibly a 1,000-yard rusher. Then we've got Jacquez Stewart. We've got Micah Kelly back there, who were solid last year. It all is going to play out in the rest of training camp in the first two games of the season to see who the leader in the running back core is going to be. And that's also a big deal about keeping the defense off the field.
Exactly.
You know, you get a sustainable drive every now and then, and it's going to be huge.
And Penny Boone, 6'1", 245, he may be just the perfect guy to run against this Ohio State defense and just keep the chains rolling. Don't do the hurry up thing. Just nice time consuming drive. We'll take it.
Right. And to round out our picks for this game, Kyle has UT winning, or I'm sorry, has Ohio State winning, but UT covering the spread.
There you go. And that's it, me as well. That's one of the losses this year. Now here's a good thing though. Toledo is 6-10 straight up against current Big Ten teams since 1992. 6-10. And against the spread, they're 7-9. So
not many other teams in the mid-major can post that kind of record.
You're exactly right. So, we'll see what happens down there in Columbus on September 17th. Next, it's a trip to San Diego State.
Yes, one game that we were planning on going to, but now only half of our duo here is going to that game.
That would be yours truly.
Yep. My daughter is due to give birth that week, so we had to rearrange some plans.
I'd tell her to do it early, man. You got things to do. Come on now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Rockets travel out to San Diego State and play in the brand new Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. It looks like a beautiful facility. I think it holds 36,000, and that's going to be a huge drawing point as the San Diego State squad last year came out of the season. I believe they were ranked in the top 25.
I see a lot of people saying they're on the cusp of the top 25 this year. So
yeah, and they bring back a lot of talent. So this is going to be a tough game for the Rockets.
I see Toledo giving it a good battle, but coming out on the short end. This is their first meeting, believe it or not. Rockets are 13-10 against current Mountain West foes, including 4-2 straight up. So 3-3 against the spread. So we'll see what happened. They lost to Mountain West foe Colorado State last year after that near win at Notre Dame. They came home and just laid an egg against the Rams. So that was the last time they played a Mountain West team.
Yeah, and it's interesting what Brady Hoke's doing out there for San Diego State. He's got that team playing well. I think their last four seasons they've been playing under him, they have 10 wins per season. And they have a winning record against playing Pac-12 teams. So they're no slouch. It's going to be an interesting game. My pick for this game is Toledo to win a close one.
And that's what Nate said as well. He said 31-28.
I was thinking 28-24. I think it's going to be a good battle of solid mid-major teams.
Kyle says San Diego State, and so do I. So Rockets, after the first four games, are going to be 2-2. That's all right, because we got the MAC schedule ahead of us, and it should be interesting.
It should be as well, very much so. We come home to Central Michigan for homecoming on October 1st. That's a 3:30 game, of course, being a homecoming game. And Central Michigan brings back one of the top rushers in the nation in Lou Nichols. And they have, I believe, 8 starters returning on offense, so they're not going to be anything to take lightly.
Now, that's not Lou Nichols the first or second. It's
Lou Nichols the third.
Okay,
exactly.
I just want to make that straight.
Long point. Heritage of Lou Nichols.
That's right. So the home team in this series has won 4 straight. So it goes back and forth here over the last 4 years. Toledo's won 10 of the last 12, though. So we'll see what happens. This is going to be a nice home game for them to see what they can do and in front of all the old people like us. And I mean, we're there every week, but a lot of old people don't come back until homecoming. So
right.
Hopefully they come out. I'm going to say Rockets win this one. Kyle says the Rockets win. And let's see, what does Nate say?
Nate says that the Rockets will win as well.
35-24.
I like Nate's points there. I think the Rockets are going to be able to handle Lou Nichols with our defensive line and our backers. I like the Rockets to win. Yeah. I'm not going to say 3 touchdowns, but I'd like to see them win by 10, possibly.
All right, let's see what happens. Well, then there's a trip to our nemesis, Northern Illinois. Now, Toledo won in DeKalb for the first time since 06 back in 2020. I'm sorry, yeah, 2020. There you go. I guess it would be 2020. It just sounded weird. Yeah. Sorry about that.
2020. 2-2. 2-0.
So, I mean, yeah, they're predicted by the media and the coaches to win the West Division of the MAC, and we're predicted to finish second. And again, I don't like saying we unless it's our school. We graduate
from. Right.
We can say we.
Right.
Even though we never played.
And if you look around at different media outlets, most outlets are picking Northern or Toledo to win the MAC West.
And Nate, he predicts a Northern Illinois 35-31 win. Kyle says that Toledo's going to win that one. I say we're going to lose it. And I don't mind being wrong. If we go 12-0 around the table, I'm okay with that.
I think
my prediction,
as a lot of people, not us as much, have said, you know, this is going to be a hot seat season for Coach Jason Candle.
Right.
These are the games he's got to win. These are the Central Michigan game, you know, your rivalry games. Those are the games that you've got to win. And we have not won at Northern in a while.
This would be the year to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if he can't get the team fired up for this one and he can't do it, I mean, he's going to be in some real trouble.
And here's the thing, too. I give Jason Candle all the credit in the world. He bet on himself this year.
Absolutely.
He had a chance to go to Miami of Florida and make over twice the salary he's making here. Maybe not twice, but maybe an extra 50% bump. And he stuck it out here, and he said, hey, I'm coming back. We're going to win this match.
Team.
Yep, exactly. So
I like Toledo in this one as well.
All right. Well, I hope I'm wrong. Hope Kyle and I are both wrong.
It's going to be a tight one.
Nate and I.
I think it's going to be, you know, maybe a one-point game, maybe a three-point game, but it's going to be tight. It's going to be one of those battles. I think our defense hopefully can handle Rocky Lombardi. He made us look silly last year, and I think that's going to be something that sticks in the back of that defense's head.
Yep, exactly.
So we move on to October 15th in Kent State.
The Golden Flashers come to the gospel. They sure do. And the Rockets have dominated series, going 12-2 straight up and 4-1 against the spread, including five straight wins. So, you know, Kent State, you know, they had that incredible season back in 2012 where they were ranked in the top 25. Chance to play in a BCS Bowl, ended up losing to Northern Illinois in the MAC Championship. And Northern went on to the Orange Bowl that year. But, yeah, so that was their only great season in the past few years. I mean, they did have a respectable year last year. They battled back, and they were in the upper echelon of the East.
And I have seen a few media outlets pick Kent State to win the East this year, which is kind of surprising to me. But I think Toledo has Kent State's number lately. So
exactly. You're not going to see Jack Lambert or Gary Pinkle or, you know, Don Nottingham walking out of that tunnel, or James Harrison.
Well, they might come out with the team, but, you know,
they're not playing.
And walkers.
They're old. Exactly.
So we're looking at our picks for this game. I have Toledo winning this one rather handily.
Yep, me too.
You as well. And then we look at Nate's pick for this one. He has Toledo winning 42-28. Kyle also has he has Kent State winning this game.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, well.
Wow, he's throwing
I'm interested in what his thinking
was. I'm perplexed
was
and aghast.
I wish we had a microphone in front of him right now, but
yeah, he's too afraid after saying that.
He might just be he might know something we don't. So we're going to have to look into this and get back to you on this once we have to update our picks board and find out his thinking on this.
Hey, no offense, Kyle, I hope you're really wrong. I'm sure you hope you are too.
I do.
Yeah, he says I do. So.
All right.
All right, next up, Buffalo. A trip to shuffle off the Buffaloes. The old song.
Shuffling.
So Rockets lead the series 7-7, and they're 7-5 against them, and it's 4-3 straight up, 2-5 against the spread in MAC play. So this is an interesting team, Buffalo. You just never know what you're going to get, and I see us winning that game on the road. It's probably going to be snowing. You know, October 22nd in Buffalo. It's probably
most likely.
Probably a snowstorm. So Kyle predicts us to win. Nate, he says Rockets 49-31. And that leaves it up to, I mean, I said we're going to win. And what about you, Pat?
I think the Rockets will win this one. They haven't played, I don't think, since 19. So, and Buffalo has had flashes of brilliance in the interim. They've had a few key players here and there, but I think the Rockets will be able to pull this one out rather handily. I think they win by at least 10 points. And Buffalo does not return a lot of talent this year, so that's going to be one of their weaknesses, and that's why they've actually been picked at one of the lower teams in the East.
Next up, a trip up the road to Ypsilanti, up Route 23, and the Eastern Michigan Eagles. Rockets are 19-3 in their last 22 games against them, so looks promising for the Rockets, but that's why they play the old game. Last year, Eastern came in, beat us 52-49. That was after a great home win that we had against Western Michigan. So you never know what Huron team, Eagles team, is going to show up.
Some things never change.
That's right. I'm old.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. They returned some talent this year. They've been picked about the middle of the pack in the East. In the West.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think Rockets can win this one by 7 or so, but Nate comes in and says that Toledo wins 35-28. And then Kyle has this one also as a UT win. So, I mean, that's one of those weird games, you know. It's the last Saturday game of the year. You're at Eastern. You're coming off a game from Buffalo. Hopefully you're not looking ahead to play Ball State. It could be a really interesting game. So I think that could be one of those back and forth battles. It might end up 42-38, but I don't think so with our defense this year, but who knows? I think they could win by 7.
Yeah. As long as they win, it's all that matters, baby. Just win, baby.
All right, Al.
That ends the weekend schedule. We then go to Maction,
which everybody loves.
Betters, degenerates, stuff like that. I mean, you know what though? Again, we've said it before, and I can't remember which podcast it was on, but you think about it. Look at all the talent we've got. Florida, Texas, you know, Alabama. We get players because of Maction. And
that has helped, for sure.
You know, it's become more of a national product, even though people get Toledo and Akron mixed up, which pisses me the hell off. But, I don't know.
And then you get the biggest rivalry game of the year on a Tuesday. And a Tuesday night in November, the game has no business being there.
That's a game, and this is the hill I'm going to die on. That should be the MAC opener, beginning of October, whether it's at Bowling Green or at Toledo, on a Saturday when the weather's still nice, kids are in school.
And you can get a maximum crowd there.
That's right. I'm definitely going to not even budge on that. So,
well, that's fine of you.
I don't have many convictions. That's one of them, though.
So let's go back to November 8th and Ball State.
Yes.
They come into town. It's a nationally televised game on Tuesday night. And Ball State, another one of those teams that you're not sure what you're going to get.
They're missing Drew Plitt, though.
Which is a big loss for them.
Yeah, great quarterback. He'd been there for a while. And, heck, they had him back in 20 during that COVID season. Had him finished in the top 20 at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, they showed some things over the years.
Some moxie.
Some moxie. Say. There you go. Exactly what I was looking for.
I don't know what that means, but.
Some fight, some zest.
Oh, yeah. Some zeal, even. Yeah,
there you go.
Zeal. Some zeal, even.
Even. All right, Snaggletooth. So we look at the picks for this one. Nate comes in with Ball State losing 38-35 to our Rockets.
I'm going
to
say
a lot of points for Ball State.
He's predicting a last second 52-yard field goal by Thomas Clucky, the pride of Oregon Clay.
Sounds like it, but I don't see our defense giving up that many points.
No.
Not against Ball State. And then Kyle, he weighs in with Toledo. A win for this game. And Ryan?
Rockets all the way.
Yeah, I see Toledo winning this game handily. You know, I'm thinking 17-20 points possibly.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So we look to a week later, November 15th. Those dirty birds from down south.
Here's one thing.
Come flopping into town.
With a bad wing.
Yeah.
One thing I like about this, though, at least it's a Tuesday and a Tuesday, not a
Tuesday and a Wednesday, Thursday or Wednesday.
Messing up the whole schedule. So at least they got this part right if they're going to have them action.
Yeah, if there's any bright spot in the scheduling of this game.
So the Rockets.
Again, on national television.
That's right, either ESPN2 or
The U.
The U or CBS Sports Network. One of the three. One of the partners, the television partners with us. So Rockets, they have won the I-75 trophy 11 of the last 12 years. The only loss coming back in 2019, that dastardly, I say dastardly loss on the road, 20-7, when the Rockets were 26-point favorites. And I don't see Bowling Green winning this one. They're still a work in progress, although Dontrez Brown from Fremont Ross, I do give him credit because he's a little giant, and I like to see him do well. Maybe get a couple sacks, but Rockets end up winning 50-2.
Wow.
We'll give him a safety.
That's a walloping. Nate comes in at this one with UT winning 42-13. And Kyle, of course, has UT winning as well. I see, they've got some talent at quarterback, but he has no one to throw to. His line's beat up. They've got some transfers coming out on defense that might help them out, but they got blown out almost every game last year. They're picked at the bottom of the MAC. They're picked in the bottom 12 in the nation in D1. So for anybody that's a Bowling Green fan that's listening to this, you guys are going to get smoked. I'm going to go 48-9.
That's a good,
Missed field goal and a field goal. Or a missed extra point and a field goal.
There you go. We'll give them that much. So the Rockets then, they don't play. They have 10 days off until they wrap up the regular season with a trip to Kalamazoo and the Western Michigan Broncos on Black Friday. Now, I don't mind games on the weekday when it's on kind of a holiday.
Right, right.
So we went up there in 2016, mm-hmm. had a great time. I mean, it was, the battle for the West.
Right.
And that Logan Woodside throwing the pick six on the first play of the game really set the tone for that. But
it was not a fun evening.
But that was a Western Michigan team that went on to the Cotton Bowl and lost right. barely to Wisconsin. So it was a good team, good game. And that was you look back at that, the COVID season of 2020, that was that one where we lost 41-38 on that fake spike. Everybody was all thrown the hell off.
Yeah, that was not a good feeling. And hopefully that sticks with them this year as they travel over to KZU. I mean, we beat them 34-15 last year.
Yeah.
They returned some talent. They also lost a little bit of talent. Western, again, picked in the middle of the West. I think the Rockets can go in there and win that game pretty solidly. I mean, I'm not going to say handily, but, 10, 12 points, something like that. They can disappoint the fans in Waldo Stadium once again.
Yeah, it'll be a good game, no doubt about it. 2 years ago, or I should say now 4 years ago, in 2018, we went in there and beat them 51-24. And so, I mean, and we should have beaten them back in 2020, except for that.
Right, the fake.
Terrible last. Yeah, that was just awful.
Yeah, they caught us with their pants down for sure on that one.
And
So looking at the picks that come in for all of us, Nate, as the Rockets winning 45-35. And Kyle also comes in with a UT win for that game. So I think overall, I'm coming in at 10-2 for the Rockets. And I think they win the MAC West. And I think they go to face the Miami Redhawks in the MAC Championship, which would be an amazing game because we haven't played in 4 score and 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's the only way we get to play Miami is playing in the MAC Championship.
Apparently, because they're too chicken shit to schedule us.
No, it's just weird how, from what I heard, it's the whole scheduling thing. Once UMass left and they mixed the divisions, it just falls into a rotation. We just haven't played them yet.
Yeah, that's a likely excuse.
Yeah,
Nate has his season total at 10-2, and Kyle has his season at 9-3. Again, with Toledo playing Miami in the MAC Championship.
I hate to sound like, be a follower here, but I think it might be Toledo and Miami. I'd like to see OU, though. But OU has coming off a shit show of a season last year.
They've got a lot of rebuilding to do.
Yeah, I don't see that happening whatsoever. So that is our look at what we think, our prognostications. That's a big, is that a four-syllable word there?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be at least
five.
It's got to be at least like 35 points in Scrabble.
Yeah, it might be. So that's our picks, I'll just say picks.
There you go.
For this upcoming year between Nate, Kyle, Pat, and myself. Oh, we heard some bad news today. Sources tell me that Tyler Long, starting center, and the only guy really predicted to be a first-team All-Mac on that offensive side of the football, will probably be out for the season after he broke his fibula, dislocated his ankle, and tore all ligaments. He will be having surgery on Tuesday, which is tomorrow at the time of this recording. So that's a big, big, big loss for that offensive line, who has always been, has had some trouble over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, the junior was predicted to be a starter this year and predicted by several media outlets to be the only first-team offensive player.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 292 out of Springfield High School here in Holland, and nice kid. Dad's a great guy. I just hope that everything works out for him, and we can come back next year stronger and better than ever.
Tough news, but we wish nothing but the best for the Long family.
Rockin' Nation, rooting and praying for you, buddy. So I hope you enjoyed our potpourri of sports tonight. We talked men's basketball, women's basketball, Rockets football. You name it, we covered the big three.
Next week, it's lacrosse.
Yeah, a little cross club.
Exactly.
You never know what's going to come out of our mouths. On behalf of the engineer producer extraordinaire Kyle W. Smith, I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
And I'm Pat Gillick. Good night, everybody.
Take care.